everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another episode. Welcome to another recording. Today, we are recording episode 115, and I'm honored to be joined by Peter Madahian and Kim Pines from the Canadian Language Industry Association, which I do serve as an honorary board member. And I am joined by colleagues and friends today, so the conversation should be fun and easy. We are talking about something positive today. We are adding a few things to the Canadian Language Industry Association for the benefit of our members. And we thought what a better way to do this is by get together with Peter and Kim and talk a little bit about that and educate the audience, whoever they may be, members or non-members. Maybe they are interested in what we're going to be talking about today. We got a couple of exciting things going on at the Localization Fireside Chat. We have a few items that we're going to be launching here. We're going to be launching our online store for those of you who would like to buy some souvenirs from the Localization Fireside Chat, stickers for your laptop, hats, t-shirts. It's all coming online now, and will be added to the YouTube channel store if you would like to browse through that. And again, not making money off of this, guys. Just I've heard so many of you guys telling me that they would like to get some souvenirs. So here are some souvenirs. Trust me, it won't pay the bills. I'm telling you this. I'm doing it for you, not for me. So if you ever wanted something out there to remember us by, feel free to drop by the store and pick it up. That's been said now. So let's move on. For those of you who don't know the guests that I have today, we'll do a little bit of an introduction just to tell us a little bit about themselves. We'll start with Kim and Peter after. Go ahead, Kim. Welcome to the channel.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for inviting us and allowing us this opportunity. I started in the language industry fresh out of school. So except for a few years where I left to work in software design, I have been in here a long time. I've started my agency 35 years ago this month, actually, translations.ca. So I've been the founder. And then I've worked with the Canadian Language Industry Association in many roles. For 8 years, I had the dual role of treasurer and chair of communications. And then I stepped back for a little bit. And now for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years, I'm back as treasurer. Plus, I sit on multiple committees within the Canadian Language Industry Association.
Well, great. And thank you for joining us today, Kim. Kim, it's her first time doing podcasts and first time on our podcast. So what I would call a podcast version. So hopefully, hopefully from here on, you'll get used to it and you'll do more of it. They are fun to do. They are fun to have conversations, especially when you break the ice with friends. It's easier than going on a podcast with people that you don't know. You're not used to talking to us. Again, I tell people who come on this channel just to make it easy for you. Feel free to behave or talk the way we're talking about any topic over coffee at Starbucks, which we usually do sometimes. It's not no pressure.
That's giving me free rein like that. You know that.
That's the idea. Absolutely. Peter, off to you.
Hey, welcome to me, I guess. Thank you so much, Robin, for inviting us. I have the same sentiments as Kim. We really appreciate being here and for you to give us a little bit of a highlight and spotlight on your very popular podcast. I'm a partner and general manager at Exacta Interpreting. We provide community interpreting across Canada, and our focus has always been on in-person interpretation and providing that coast-to-coast. My other job is being the president of the Canadian Language Industry Association, or CLIA. At CLIA here, at its core, we want to be Canada's voice in the language sector. Our mission is to help the language companies and professionals thrive by building a strong, united, and evolving industry. Our mission is to unite and strengthen Canada's language sector. And that continues with me. And before that, it was you as the president, and after me, it would be somebody else who's the president. So the baton keeps being passed on, and hopefully the association will continue to thrive.
Absolutely. And thanks for that. Thanks for reminding us for our core mission is to continue supporting the language industry for today and the future, which is very important. Sometimes we get so bogged down in day-to-day activities and what we're doing, and then we forget what the reason we're doing it, but we continue doing it faithfully and ethically, passing the baton on to the next generation of leaders in our industry. Speaking of that, I know, based on a previous conversation, and probably this is the reason why we're talking today, is that the Canadian Language Industry Association, and I'll use the abbreviation of CLIA, added a category to its services, hopefully to the members and the non-members, which is education. And there is an upcoming course that you're trying to push to or promote or offer to our members in the industry or whoever is interested, I guess, in this case, in participating in such a course. And one of the key dynamics that is shifting in our industry, as we everybody know, and I'm, you know, it's becoming more of a, oh my God, not that again, AI topic. And it's shifting quite a bit in our industry. It's a bit of an understatement to say that. Everybody's been talking about it for a year or two. And I guess you have a course coming up that talks about AI and upskilling and targeting. How do we take our members from where they are right now to adapt to the new world, I'm assuming, the new technologies, the new way of conducting translation services in Canada and the rest of the world, I guess. Talk to us a little bit about the upcoming course, Kim or Peter, whoever wants to take that on.
Sure. The course, there's actually a webinar that's going to give you a taste of what the 10-week course is. Our industry is one of the earliest adopters of machine translation and AI, but the pace of change is so dramatic and it's so quick. We have to keep upskilling. So we were approached by Magic Bean Agency, who has already run this course a couple of times, along with the Association of Translation Companies, which is our UK counterpart. In this round, which is their third time they're running this Reclaim 3.0, it also includes the Association of Language Companies from the US, ourselves, ATC again from the UK, and a few other groups as well have been invited. It's a 10-week course. It's about an hour and a half every Friday, 2 hours if there's a Q&A. It's live. We're going to be able to ask questions. It's interactive, 100%. We can ask tough questions. The beauty of this course is it's designed specifically for our industry to address our pain points, learning how to incorporate AI into our workflow, into our client communications, and into our quality assurance. Our clients want to make sure that we're on the ball. We have to be on top of this. They expect it of us.
Mm-hmm. Peter, why the course? Why now?
I'd like to add that, I guess awareness of AI is high. Like we're bombarded by it. But being prepared for it is something else, like actually taking steps to have your business being prepared to deal with it. You know, larger companies and providers, they have teams dedicated to testing, governance, risk assessment, while smaller firms and medium-sized companies are just barely scratching the surface. And many LSPs understand the tools, but are still learning how to package AI into their operations and into their services in a way that their clients trust it. So we thought that this course will give our members, especially the ones that are smaller in size, something that they've been missing, an affordable, high-quality AI program that's designed specifically for the language industry. You know, there are many courses that are available for AI, but not many of them are for the language sector specifically. And many of what is available are mostly videotaped, and there is really no live instructor or interaction, and which I find to be very helpful when it comes to the training aspect. And one of the things that really caught our attention about this course is the fact that it is taught by live instructors on a weekly basis. So they can actually ask questions and address their pain points and ensure that they're getting the answers that they need for their specific
And you feel that there is a demand for this, Peter, or how? What do you think the audience appetite for something like this?
So I mean, we all know that AI is being playing more of a role in all of our businesses, especially the language sector. I mean, if you look at any paper that's out, interpreting and translations are the number one targeted industries that are going to be affected by integration of AI. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
And you also know that AI is another tool in the toolbox of a language service company, right? Just like we had the TMs and we had the other things. So I think preparing for that is the, and being able to utilize it is the best way going forward. Now, the good thing about this course is that it's been tested already twice. So this is a third edition. So many kinks, I think, have been worked out. And I think they said over 150 companies have already taken this course. So again, 150 language service providers around the world have taken this, many of them from the UK, which I think gave us a little bit of confidence in their ability to deliver something that our members could work with. And it's something that would work with their line of business and their approaches.
Absolutely. Like, especially when you talk about, this been tried before, the bugs have been worked out of it. And you're taking on, the 3.0, I guess that's what it's called.
That's right.
A version of this program, which you'd hope by then, by the third version that you've seen a few items that you needed to be corrected and you corrected them already. Now, for a small entrepreneur, I mean, Kim mentioned she owns an agency. Kim, from your side, I mean, as a small entrepreneur, how do you see this course helping you, or program, I should say?
Well, for me, it's leveling the playing field. Large companies have tech people. They have full-time tech departments. Smaller agencies, micro and SM, small and medium-sized businesses, we don't have that, and we can't play games. We don't have the time to be trying to test things and develop things. I mean, there's a little bit of time, of course, because you have to learn, but this kind of course should help us remain competitive and efficient,
mm-hmm.
and compete with some of the bigger players who have more bandwidth to test this kind of software.
Even the playing field a little bit, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. And the I noticed that the way this thing is being delivered, or the course is being delivered, the program is being delivered, that you have a webinar coming up to explain it a little bit better for the...
Yes, it's coming up on Monday, September 8th. It's a short webinar. I believe it's an hour. CLIA has put out a LinkedIn post about it, and it's gone out in an email as well. So you can sign up, get a bit of a taste of what some of the things, the quality of the course you will be getting during the 10-week live event.
Okay. And only one information session or several? Are you hosting more than one or just one?
There's just one.
Just information
session. Because the course itself starts September 18th, I believe.
19th,
yes.
So the course runs every Friday at, I think it's 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as Kim mentioned, for an hour and a half. And it could be up to 2 hours with the Q&A.
What I also liked about it is the way they're pricing it. So it's by company, size of company. So if you have like a 3 to 10 employees, the discounted price for CLIA members is $1,600 US, but all 10 employees can attend. So if you have 1 to 2 employees, it's $600 US and both employees can attend. Interesting, it's not the usual by student pricing model.
Yeah. It's by company, basically.
Yeah. That's right.
Exactly. And one of the other great things about it is that we managed to negotiate a substantial discount for CLIA members. So not only the members that we currently have, but as an incentive for other companies who are thinking about becoming members, because this will help, attract them and in a way, compensate for some of the costs of becoming a member, right? So we're very excited about that as well.
And what happened for those companies that have, let's say, more than 10 employees? I'm thinking like there are several companies that have like 200 employees. What would be the case and the scenario with these guys?
It's 50 plus employees and the price is $5,500 US and you can have 50 employees or more.
Okay. So there is a program or there is a...
Yeah, it goes right up.
For those individual companies.
It's on the website.
Yeah. Okay, cool. The other question is like from when you say like, many employees can attend, but what is the nature of the course? Is it technical course? Is it a business course? Is it a process improvement course? Like who should be attending these? Who would be more geared toward it? If I was a technology person working for you, Kim, or for Peter, would that be geared toward me or would that be geared toward business development people? I'm not sure what is the essence of the course and who should be attending it on the other side.
So I can answer that. So what we're talking about, so the course outlines really, I think it's really made for the people who are in the operations. So they talk about an introduction to AI. So you don't really need to know a lot about it for this course. The first session, I think, deals with that. Then we talk about automatic translation and how does AI manage that. We talk about evaluating and implementing AI. There's a role of language experts. And then AI production workflows, AI for sales and marketing, selling enabled, AI-enabled services, AI for quality management, AI for media localization, and putting it all together for your company's AI strategy. So essentially, we talk about, the course talks about how it affects every process of a business and depending on who's attending. So again, geared towards really smaller to medium-sized companies where one person wears multiple hats. So they're able to really get an understanding of how using AI can help you with the various aspects.
Okay, let's back up.
Go ahead. Sorry, Robin. That being said, I'm actually bringing in one of my translators, one of my linguists.
Okay.
Just different perspective. They see it differently than I would, which is more on the operations side.
Mm.
This particular translator, it also has a bit of a technical background. So I just think I could get a different perspective after if we're both taking the course.
Kim, while you're on the topic, because that was going to be my next question, now, has the translators and the linguists in Canada, or Peter, maybe both of you can chime in on this, have they come around on the topic of AI? Because I thought there was like a big push against it. Or are we trying to drag them along? What are you seeing out there and what are you trying to do?
Well, that's a good question. I'd split. I think they're coming around, though. I think they see the writing on the wall. They realize we're dragging them. We started dragging them. Now that I think they're starting to come along on their own. When I say we, I mean the language, the companies. We said, you have to. You know, we still have some, maybe more senior translators that are just totally against it and I don't want to change. And
mm-hmm.
But I would say the majority, they're now coming on board. They realize they have to.
What's your take, Peter, on this one?
You know, I'd like to think of an analogy of a picture that's been out of focus. So you kind of, the translators have been seeing the outline of something and they've been hearing about it. But as we go more into it, the picture is becoming more focused. So they're actually able to see how, you know, an AI can help, or how an AI is actually working and how it can affect their jobs or how it can enhance their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, maybe there was fear, oh my God, they're coming for my jobs. But then it's now more about how can I use this as a tool to work better, to have a better outcome and to make my processes more efficient. As in anything, you get people who are, you know, they do their research and they're you know, knowledgeable about what's happening. And there's other people who basically just overhear something and they quickly make a decision and they don't really bother to think of, you know, to dig in a little bit more. And, you know, I think with time, you know, this is something that's going to happen, and this course would be a great, great sort of crutch to help us, to help everyone get a better idea of how to use this tool.
Yeah. Now, question would be: is from an association perspective, are you cooperating with other associations in the industry in Canada about this particular course? Example, for instance, are you inviting the members, let's say, of OTIAC or any other association in the country to take part of it? Or you're just putting it out in the public, whoever wants to attend? Are you cooperating with the other ones?
It's going out to the public. It was a big blast out to Canada. Whether you're a member of CLEAR or not, you're more than welcome to take the course. Students can take it. It wasn't limited.
It wasn't limited.
Directly, we're in our posts, for example, we're tagging Stibic or Atio or whoever. That it's getting widespread.
They'll be aware of it.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, over the last few years, we have expanded our partnership with other associations. For example, ALC, primarily based in the United States, and ATC, primarily based in the UK. And we are learning from them. And this is a course that has been adapted by them.
Mm-hmm.
So, if other associations want to partner up with CLEAR. And to you know, learn more about it, we're happy to have that partnership. But right now, I think we are the first one in Canada that are offering it to our members and to the general, you know, to the public at large.
And we do have I know I've signed one when I was president with the European Language Industry Association, ELIA, I guess.
Yes.
Remember that? I don't know. We still have a relationship there. Are we still maintaining that? Do we know?
It is. Someone else is handling our partnerships at the moment, and we have to renew them kind of every year. We reach out, just touch base, and she's working on that at the moment.
And we also have one with Argentina, right? We have a couple ones going on with Argentina, because Argentina has like a couple of associations. We've partnered with two or three of them, I guess.
We do, and a new one from Africa as well. Yeah, and I just recently reached out to New Zealand and Australia and the Society of Northwest Translators and Interpreters in Canada.
Great. Yeah, but we need to continue expanding that. Good job, Kim. We need to continue expanding that relationship network, if you will, across the globe. You know, that, you know, you guys always hear me talk about that, and you're just building walls around where we are in Canada. It doesn't help us anymore. Plus, it doesn't work. You either, you know, we have only one option, is to immerse ourselves in the outside world, outside of our little ecosystem, if you will, here in Canada, which is going to help everybody in growth, I guess.
Even in Canada, we're trying to reach out nationally. We have an event coming up in Vancouver, Rendezvous Vancouver, that we're pushing.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Yes, so we're working there. We kind of reached out to associations out in that direction. We're also planning on hopefully doing one in the East Coast.
Yes.
We're really trying to bring us nationally together. It's usually Ontario, Quebec centric, and now we're trying, we're in ATIA in Alberta's come quite alive, and we're interacting with them a lot as well.
Excellent. Well, good to hear that. One of the questions on anybody's mind is when you come in with an offer such as the program that we're talking about today, Reclaim 3.0 AI upskilling course offered by CLIA to the public, is the ROI. So have you gone through this? So what's the prospect of return on investment from a company perspective on this particular program? Have you got done some analysis on this one? Even rudimentary would be fine.
I have to admit, I have not. I think it's a no-brainer. We have to adapt. We have to redefine ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Change is happening. We cannot stay status quo. So the price point is great for me. I just think it's a no-brainer. Like, if you don't try to take some of these courses, I mean, you see them, they pop up all the time on LinkedIn, on TikTok, on Instagram. Take this AI course, take this AI. There's thousands out there, and some of them are super expensive. So if there's something geared to the language industry specifically, in this case it's more for translation agencies, I think it's a no-brainer to take it. ROI, honestly, I haven't dug that deep into it. I don't think anything I learn will be helpful.
Of course.
That's what I believe.
You know, Robin, as you know well, over the last decade, we've seen a steady consolidation in the market, you know, an increasing reliance on subcontracted freelance capacity and earlier adoption of AI, as you know, many people expected. And many large organizations have embraced the net zero budgeting, you know, and what we've, I guess, more recently, people have placed a great emphasis on data security, compliance, and measurable quality. And we're seeing firms and other larger companies experiment with AI to boost their productivity while working in a way to differentiate through human expertise and specialized services. And I think a course like this, it brings that to smaller companies that they will not be able to afford that. And the ROI on that really, as Kim mentioned, is priceless, because otherwise you will fall behind, because there isn't tool that other companies are using that smaller companies don't have access to. And that becomes a barrier to entry to becoming efficient and becoming cost effective.
And as you stated earlier, I mean, the education or the knowledge being gathered around regarding AI is being bits and pieces coming from every angle. Mm-hmm. And those bits and pieces may apply, may not apply specifically to the industry. You know, we got to remember our industry, it's a small industry when it comes to the ranking of all industries around the globe in terms of economy. It's one of the smallest industry, to be honest. And AI is impacting it because of its nature, meaning that, you know, languages can be easily treated with, you know, pattern recognition using AI, for instance. But the education around that, the knowledge around that, and I'm talking in general, I'm not talking specific, obviously, has been through LinkedIn and through posts here and there. And everybody's claiming to be a guru on the topic. Comes up with a nice post about it. But what I like about the course is the focus that it has on the language industry. And it's not being taught over 1 hour. It's being taught over like 10 different sessions. I know it starts on September 19th, which is a Friday. And I see on the website, it ends on November 1st, which is another Friday as well. So this is very focused to the language industry. And hopefully it is in a way that people can comprehend it and people can understand, absorb. And I like the fact that you can interact, that you can ask questions. This is not a one-way communication. Otherwise, you would watch a video, right? This is a more of a classroom, virtual classroom, obviously, base connection. One of my previous careers, I was in the e-learning business. I'm not sure if I guys told you, founding member of one of the largest e-learning companies in Canada, and focusing on taking things from the classroom to the e-classroom, I guess, and at that point. But now we have companies offering these types of services in a virtual environment, which brings a lot of, and I'm assuming there's maybe like some other ways they can ask questions, like via email after the course, or they can submit questions via any other method if they have like any follow-up issues that they need to resolve, right? Am I correct?
Yes, but for me also, just imagine, I can hear questions from my colleagues from around the world, the same, they could be the same questions or different questions, but every question is valuable for me. Even if it's from somebody on the other side of the world, I'm sure it's something that I might have asked already to myself.
Yeah.
So just the interaction with all the other people that are going to be on the call is going to be fantastic.
You know, when it comes to AI, I love this because everybody I've talked to tells me their situation is unique. But when I put all the situation across, they're not unique. They're all the same. And we're probably all of us dealing with the same problems. You may have a unique customer. I get that. You may have a unique project. I get that. But from what are we facing out there? Everybody's the same. And yeah, there is a slight nuances in terms of what makes it different for you. But in general, as an industry, as a Canadian Language Industry Association and our members, I feel like it is the same challenge that we're all being faced with here. And they're not much different. So, and I love this because then, you know, you would encourage, I'm assuming you encourage participants in this case to share openly and honestly about their situation, because again, you're not different than anybody else. You're faced with the same challenges. You know, you're using a TMS, you have a customer, and you're processing translation, and your customers are using AI, and guess what? You have to figure out too, where do you fit in that equation? If you tell me your customers are not using AI, you're either behind the wheel somewhere, not feeling what's going on. Your customers are using AI. Trust me, they are using AI. It doesn't matter which customer they are. And if somebody tells me that they're not allowed, because I'm sure somebody's going to come in and say, well, they're not allowed to use AI. Trust me, they are using AI.
And, you know, one of the other things about this course is that every week they touch up on a new subject. And I think that gives the participants 1 week time to play with that in their actual, you know, business operations and processes, and then come back and say, hey, I did this, and this was my pain point, or this is where I ran into trouble. And I think that continuity of having a course and then having a week to play with it and to experiment with it and come back and ask more questions, I think that is really a great incentive to, so that it's not just a video and you watch it once and it's over. You can actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we talk about in Canada, and specifically when I talked to I'm not sure if she's still the current president of OTIAC, Betty Cohen, but when I interviewed her on the podcast, she talks a lot about, you know, the public safety nature of that association, meaning that, you know, texts and content need to be reviewed by a professional translator certified by OTIAC to make sure it doesn't impact the health and safety of the public. And so what we're talking about here is, when we're talking about AI in the Canadian context, for the audience that is we should make sure that we're understanding this correctly. It is impacted inside the process within a quality system versus replacing everything else. How do you fit AI in your process versus, oh, AI is going to replace everybody? No. And let me, another one too, which is still a joke around, is, you know, translators' productivity. I know translators are going to hate me right now, right? So translator productivity has been measured in Canada, but for decades, by 15 to 2,000 words per day, 1,500 to 2,000 words per day. Guess what? I don't know if that works anymore. I don't know if this is a possibility anymore. with all the tools that you've got at your disposal, Mr. or Mrs. Translator, you should be able to harness the power of these tools to allow you to be more productive. If you're a freelancer, imagine this. I mean, instead of, you know, doing 1,800 words a day, there is a possibility that you could probably do 10,000 words a day. I'm not exaggerating. I've seen those. But you've got to harness the power of the technology and see where the technology fits in your content type, object, and the process. Am I correct there?
100%. There still is a bit of a trust issue with, and so the language service, for me, the language service company, I'm getting the translators on board that they can trust AI. On the other hand, I've seen the mistakes myself. I've seen the hallucinations, as they like to call the errors. So the trust still has to be built. Yes, they can definitely go higher than 1,500 to 2,000 words a day. But you're right, they have to learn to harness it, and they have to learn how to harness it correctly. And our clients expect us to use AI responsibly as well. There's security protocols that have to be in place. Confidentiality has to be taken into consideration. There's a lot of things that come into play with AI. As well, there's a push now to actually identify texts that have had AI used. Although I think that's kind of redundant, because I think just about everything is having AI involved in some. If not the English, then the French or the other language, whatever the target language is. So I think maybe that might just go by the wayside, identifying text, because I think everything's been touched by AI now.
That's right. And there are AI detectors out there that are being used. There are ways to get around that. I know if you guys played around with ChatGPT-5 yet, but there is ways to get around that. It's pretty easy. You just include in your prompt GPT-0 or a human non-detectable ChatGPT stuff. So anyway, you can remove all these hidden characters out of your text, so it's easier for you to sound like a human in the new AI. And this will bring me to another element of this entire discussion. Is it's sort of like, as an industry, we became a little jaded, to be honest with you. And why is that? It's because for those of us who has been around for a few years, we've seen technologies come and go with big promises. Technology comes in, and you've seen it like back in when the early starts of TMSs, big promises, and you know, we're gonna solve the language problem. It didn't materialize. And various iterations of those technologies came along. Yeah, you know what? You promised me you're going to replace me. As a translator, that's what I would say. Well, that didn't happen yet. But what's different with AI, AI is learning. It's not a static software. It is not a software that every year I have to buy a new iteration of it. It is an evolving software. It's learning from us. It's learning from the content. It's learning from what we do with it. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I know every language has got its own uniqueness, you know, be it French Canadian or be it whatever language we're talking about. It wouldn't be a long time from now where we are now at, you know, you mentioned trust there, Kim, earlier, which is a very important phase that we are in right now. The public, it doesn't matter who they are. We are translators, you know, lawyers, doctors, whatever they are. We're going through a trust phase with AI right now. Can I trust it? And we're playing around with it just to try to make sure that we're, is it really saying what I think it is saying? Is it correct? Should I correct its behavior? Should I correct the input so I can get a better output? But that trust phase, it would last for another year or two, and then it's got to move on to something completely different. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get to a phase where AI, for instance, I'm predicting, AI can learn French Canadian to a point where you cannot distinguish it from a human. Being on board now using courses like Reclaim 3 AI upskilling courses, it's better late than never. I know we're late, but it's better late than never to get on board, to learn it, to find out a little bit more what's going on in the technology world, and how can you adapt to it, or how can you adopt it in your operational processes. Trust phase is here. It won't stay forever. And we are going to move to ASI from where we are right now, and that's down the road as soon as quantum computing takes over. This journey is not a to B journey. It's an evolving journey that we're going on right now. So, you agree, Peter?
100%, absolutely. You know, so when we talk about AI, we talk about, you know, large language models, LLMs, and a lot of companies create their own small language models so that they have more control over what the content is and what, you know, what is accessible and what the core focus of that AI is. So I agree with what you're saying, and I think there'll be more SLMs, small language models, as we go forward that specialize in, you know, let's say, French Canadian, as opposed to French by itself or any other language. So that when you access it, you have a lot more certainty in what is being delivered and its outcome. You know, the cost is a factor that sometimes gets overlooked when it comes to AI. I mean, data centers are currently hugely expensive when it comes to cost of, you know, maintenance of it, energy of it. So as we go forward, if those costs come down, I think you'll be much more accessible, or it may be a barrier to accessibility for some people that, you can only access the highly accurate, AI if you're willing to pay for that. Otherwise, you'll have access to something that's, you know, mediocre. I mean, does the job, and then we go back to the risk factor again. What is the risk? What risk factor are we looking at? Is it, you know, is it something that you can afford to have a little bit of an error in there? Or, I mean, are you translating a letter from somebody, or, you know, or is it like a court document or a medical report that you need to make sure it's 100% accurate, right?
It's interesting you say that. So you're saying that if someone develops an LLM specific for French Canadian, say it's the federal government, and then they're going to resell it out to us, or a company could develop something along that same line, the same thing, and sell it to us. That puts another spin on everything.
I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I'm not going to name any names, but I've written a sort of like a business case on this topic for large, very large data set that exists in Canada currently. It's like one of the largest data set from a language perspective that exists in Canada today. I wrote like a 50-page document. I delivered it to them. It's about tokenizing the data. So remember the famous dictionary that is hosted online by the Translation Bureau that everybody accessed today and referenced to, and they use same idea, but now you're tokenizing the data. So you can develop as a translation service provider in Canada or outside, you can develop your own LLMs, but in order for you to take advantage of what the data that exists in a specific language, and the model can be applied to any language combination, Italian, Spanish, whatever. I'm talking about it in the context of Canada, but you can put it all together in a single repository, train it, and get your LLM to talk to another LLM and learn from it. Now, how do we make money? There's something called tokenization. So as your LLM is accessing another LLM, it's really running a token off of it, and then you can exchange the monetization from that later. Because once you start accounting for it, it's like running a meter on it. Once you start running the meter on it, then you become the, if you want to call it, the policy holder of the language, the quality check and balances on the language, if you will. And then your LLM is accessing the, what do you call, the de facto standard in the language from that database. And that's the way to the future. Otherwise, that data is sitting on some hard drive somewhere, static, and only can be referenced when somebody does a research on it.
I don't know. That sounds, it could get really greedy and out of hand.
No, I mean, today it's being offered for free, right? So today is offered for free.
Yes, but this is kind of when they were trying to sell translation units. Do you remember? That goes back quite a while ago.
Sure,
and upload your own translation memory and you can sell it to other people. It never flew.
But most AI engines right now, Kim, that's how they operate. They operate on token. You don't know because you don't see it in the background. It operates on token. Like when I buy ChatGPT for X amount of dollars per month, I'm actually buying a set number of tokens. I don't consume them because I don't use them that often. But that's how it works. And it's just a 360. Back in the days, now I'm going to mention mainframe because people are going to think how old I am, how old this guy is. Back in the mainframe days, we used to buy runtime, and runtime was measured by, you know, CPU time. And this is exactly what's going to happen now.
Yes. And, you know, we do see that with different AIs. So the AIs that are used for video production and for picture development and things like that run on a different platform or a different pay scale than the ChatGPT that, you know, that the rest of us may use just for
yep.
problems, right?
So you're like subscription service, but you're using the word token. Is that yeah. kind of what you're getting to?
Right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So for the audience who are interested in coming on to the program and participating in the Reclaim 3.0 AI upskilling course by Canadian Language Industry Association, I highly encourage you to go to the Canadian Language Industry Association website. That's language-industry.ca. Go to the events section and you will see the program that we're talking about. Register, explore, register, and see if it's for you. And we hope to see you on the course. We encourage you, everybody, to participate in this course, to participate in this program. It's long overdue. And I know that. Why? It's because I've worked with you guys, with the entire industry, for about 22, 23 years. So I know what I'm talking about. You need this course. You cannot function, or any course, but this particular program, it's very opportunistic for me to say that, and for the Canadian Language Industry Association to say that, because we want you to see, we want to see you do better. We want to see you do better in terms of understanding what's surrounding you, what's coming at you, and what's waiting for you around the corner. And that's one way to understand what AI is going to impact and how it's going to impact not just you, your customers, your business, your livelihood in some cases. So you better understand how this is going to impact you going forward. Kim and Peter, anything else you'd like to add on the program for our audience to participate or to keep in mind?
We just see for the webinar coming up on Monday, the introduction that will give you an idea of what you can expect in the main. I think if you're unsure, definitely attend that. It's free. So you can just sign up. Any questions, just email the Canadian Language Industry Association. But
or any one of us here. I mean, they don't need to email. Like, I mean, everybody knows you, me, and Peter. So if you have any question on the course, just hit me with an email.
I'm that famous. Or
well, after this podcast, I'm hoping you would be.
Well, yeah. I'm no longer a podcast virgin, as you called me at the beginning. So.
Well, you're no longer. That's it. It's over now.
I'd like to also take the time to ask any company or any LSP in Canada, doesn't matter how small you are, if you're not a member of the Canadian Language Industry Association, I would highly encourage you to come and find out more about the association and find out what benefit it has for you and to come and join the, you know, there's about 100 of us, 100 companies as part of our members, and we have a board of directors and a great group of people that you can leverage for knowledge, for networking. As we get more united as an association, I think we need more members to join us. So I want to put a call out for people to come and join or find out more about us.
Absolutely. You know, I concur with Peter and Kim. The Canadian Language Industry Association is an association that's been around for 2-3 decades now.
2003.
Personally been involved. Yeah, closer to three, right?
2003.
So, and for me personally, since I entered the industry, I've been involved with the Canadian Language Industry Association one way or another. And for all of us who participated in and took part of this great association, I can tell you without a shadow of the doubt, it is a great place to network, to get to know your colleagues in the industry, to share your problems and not necessarily problems, challenges, and seek solutions. And not necessarily you're going to find that out in a public setting, but in one of our conferences that you would probably attend, in one of our courses that you probably attend, in private conversations of people that you're going to be meeting in the industry, in the association, you're going to have those conversations facilitated. So highly encourage everybody to explore possibilities with the Canadian Language Industry Association by being a member or by participating in the course that we're talking about today. Anything else we'd like to add?
Just thank you very much for giving us this opportunity, Robin, to be here and share what we know about this course and about CLIA.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We really appreciate your time and the efforts that you put towards the association. You've always been the association's friend and, you know, in a leadership position, and we always are happy to collaborate with you.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it. Thank you, Kim. Great having you on the podcast today. For our audience, thank you so much for listening in today. I really appreciate your time. And if you haven't done so, please share, like, or comment on our content. Always, if you have any idea of a future episode that you'd like to see subjects being talked about, please share those with emails to me or direct messaging me on LinkedIn, YouTube, all the other channels. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time, and I'll see you in the next episode. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.